Today's shiur is a Masechta Sukkah on Daf Lamed Aleph, the second line at the top of the Amud, the second word, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, we have learned that Sukkah Gzula, a Sukkah that is stolen, and the Gemara will define for us momentarily exactly what is a stolen Sukkah. The Hamasachich Rishus Rabbim, and somebody who makes a Sukkah in the Rishus Rabbim, and Rashi tells us the second line of Rashi, Hon Nami Gezel HaRabim. He's also stealing from many people by making a sukkah in the area of Rishus HaRabim on ground that does not belong to him. So the halacha is that we have a machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Lezer Paisel. Rabbi Lezer says that this sukkah is pasul. The Chachamim Machshira, and the Chachamim say that it is kosher. Amar Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, machlokas, this machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim is speaking about b'shetoykev es chaveroi v'hoitzio misukasoi. When he grabs his friend, Reuven built a sukkah on his property, Shimon comes in, grabs a hold of Reuven, v'hoitzio misukasoi, and he removes him from his sukkah, and Shimon now wants to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah with this sukkah from which he has ejected Reuven. Now, why does Rabbi Lezer hold its puzzles? Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Lezer l'tamei. Rabbi Lezer goes according to his own shita, l'shitasa. He goes according to his own reasoning. The Amar, Rabbi Lezer said, "Ein adam yotze yedei chayvaser b'sukasha shachaver." We had this before in Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, that Rabbi Lezer holds that, for example, by a sukkah she'ula, if I borrow a sukkah from someone, I want to be yotze with my friend's sukkah. Rabbi Lezer learns from the pasuk concerning sukkah that tasa lecha, the pasuk says, as Rashi brings down in Divrei HaMaskal, sukkah gezula. Rabbi Lezer dorish tasa lecha, misha lecha, v'loy gezula v'loy she'ula. That the pasuk which says that you should make for yourself teaches us that it cannot be a stolen sukkah, it cannot be a borrowed sukkah, and therefore ein adam yotze yedei chavaser b'sukasha shachaveri. One is not able to fulfill his mitzvah of sukkah with the sukkah of his friend. And therefore we can look at this, says Rav Nachman, memanev shach. Whatever way we're going to view this sukkah, the halachic definition of this sukkah, you will not be able to be yotze with the sukkah according to Rabbi Lezer. E karka nigzeles. If one has the ability to steal karka, and Rashi in the fourth line on the Amid says, v'chol ha-mechubur l'karka harei k'karka. Anything that is attached to the ground has halacha of the ground. And therefore, here we're speaking about the sukkah, but the sukkah is attached to the ground, so it would have the same halachic dinim as the ground itself. And we have a machlokas, which Rashi brings down from Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, which we learn out from Sukkim, whether karka is nigzelus or whether it's not nigzelus. Does the gazlan, the one who's stealing the karka, or in our case, the sukkah that's built on the karka, is he in fact able to remove the sukkah from the jurisdiction of the nigzal, of the one who was stolen from, if he can remove it? That would be a case of karka nigzalis. If he cannot remove it, then we would say karka is ainan nigzalis. It cannot be stolen. A movable thing, a metaltalin, that of course can be moved from place to place, it can be stolen. However, by karka, we have this machlokes above a comment of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So the Rabbi Nachman says as follows. If Rabbi Lezer would look at this sukkah, at this karka, that it could be stolen, sukkah gzuli, then it's a sukkah gzula. And Rabbi Lezer says, ta'asa l'cha, that a sukkah gzula, you're not fulfilling ta'asa l'cha, it's not yours. You didn't acquire it. If you stole something, if you're able to steal something and you did not acquire it through your stealing, then you would not be yotze the mitzvah of sukkah because it remains a sukkah gzula. Ve'inami, and even if I were to say that karka eina nigzeles, that karka or the sukkah that's on the karka cannot be stolen. And instead, as Rashi says, the ramasal v'eina nigzeles, the chol hayam b'rishus balehi, and all the days that the gazlan has the sukkah, it's actually in the rishus of its previous of its owner, of its legitimate owner. So what is the halachic status of this sukkah? Havile shu'ula. So it's considered a borrowed sukkah. Continues the Gemara, sukkah she'ulahi. It is a borrowed sukkah. And we just said that Rabbi Lezer holds, ein adam yotze yidei chavasai v'sukashi shachaveri. So memanevshach. If it's a stolen sukkah, it's possible for a sukkah. And if it's a borrowed sukkah, it's possible for a sukkah. That's the shita of Rabbi Lezer. Rabbanu l'tamayu. The Rabbanu who hold that a sukkah is kosher, they go also l'shitasam, according to their own reasoning. The Amri that they said earlier on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, Adam Yotzei Dechavas B'Sukkah Shachaveirai, that one could be Yotzei with the Sukkah of his friend. And they also hold on Daf Chav Zayin, in Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, Karka Einan Nigzeles, that one cannot steal Karka. It does not leave the domain, the jurisdiction of the Nigzal, of the legitimate owner. So if it cannot be stolen, what does it remain? Continues the Gemara of a sukkah she'ulah. It's a sukkah she'ulah. That's its halachic status. And the Chachamim hold that one could be yotzei. They don't hold that l'cha is memayat she'ulah. And therefore, the Chachamim will hold that a person could be yotzei his mitzvah of sukkah with the borrowed sukkah of his friend. And therefore, here, according to Chachamim, the person would be yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, Rashi in Divrei Amaschil v'Rabbanan l'tamayu, Rashi points out around six lines down in the Rashi. Rashi says v'hu adin nami the havel Rav Nachman lemeimer the Rav Lazar l'tamei domer ba'goyzel karka nigzelis v'sukkah gzulahi. So what Rashi is asking in this Devar Amaschil is that why does Rav Nachman make in the sheet of Rav Lezer a meman of shach, that whether it's sukkah gzula you're not yotzer, whether it's sukkah shula you're not yotzer according to Rav Lezer. In fact, who is the one who argues in Bava Kama Kuf Yud Zayin and Mebeis against the Chachamim and holds that Karka Nigzelis? It's none other than Rav Eliezer. So why didn't Rav Nachman come out and say succinctly that Rav Lezer is l'shitasei, that karka is nigzela, so the sukkah could be stolen? If it could be stolen, it goes into the iser of l'cha, tas l'cha, v'loi gzula, and the rabbanan l'shitasayu hold that karka is not nigzelas, and what does it remain? Sukkah shula, and they hold that l'cha is not memayat sukkah shula. They hold that Adam Yaitse Dechavasu Mishukar Shachavera. So why did Rab Nachman say in Rab Lezer that you could go either way? Rab Lezer, in fact, doesn't say it's either way. Rab Lezer holds that it's a Sukkah Gzula because Karka Nigzelis. On this, Rashi answers, and Tosfos, in the top Tosfos, says it in very briefly. He asks the same question, and he answers, Ala Reitza Liyashiv Devarv B'cholinian. True. Rav Nachman could have said that Rav Lezer's shita actually is that karka is nigzelis, and that's why it's possible, l'cha and not gzula. But the Gemara, Rav Nachman just wanted to make it according to every opinion, whether it's gzula or whether shula. However, Rashi elaborates a little more and explains to us that he could have given that answer, but had he answered that way, one might have thought that Rav Lezer would hold if it would be karka ain't a nigzelis, and it would be shu'ula, he might agree to the chachamim that by shu'ula you could be yotzei. So that's why Rav Nachman went out of his way to say that either way you would not be yotzei. In reality, he taka holds it's karka nigzelis, it's sukkah gzula, and that's why you're not yotzei. But even were Rav Lezer to hold like the rabbanon that karka is ain't a nigzelis, and what does the halachic status of the sukkah remain? Shu'ula, but Rav Lezer's shita is ain't adam yotzei they chavasim sukkah. That l'cha is not on m'mayit gzeila, it's also m'mayit she'ula, and therefore m'manev shech, either way, you are not yotzei the mitzvah. The Ritva asks a very fundamental question in our sugya on the Chachamim, that how can the Chachamim say that it's a sukkah she'ula? Because karka is ein a nigzelis. and therefore it's a sukkah shula, and you are yotze adam yotze dechvasim b'shal chaveroi. Why doesn't it remain a mitzvah bo bavera? We've learned already earlier in the Masechta that there is a psul of a mitzvah bo bavera. Since the Rishonim, Rashi and the Rambam Shita is that one is over on gzela, even if I say karka ainan nigzelas. The cheftza, the item, is not stolen. It's not considered halachically stolen by karka. But the gavra, the person, has committed an avera, according to these Rishonim, of gzela. So if he's committed an avera of gzela, how can the chacham say the sukkah is kosher, because it's a sukkah shula, and you're yaitzi yidei chavasim, it's a kosher chaver. Let it remain a mitzvah above avera, and you should not be yaitzi. So, first the Ritva brings down a teretz, that the only time you say mitzvah above avera is only by a mitzvah of ritzui, something that causes appeasement to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such as shofar, lulav, and korban. But since a sukkah does not affect ritzui, one would not say mitzvah bo bavera. The Ritva argues on this teretz. He brings a Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says the concept of mitzvah bo bavera even by matzah. And matzah is also not ritzui. So we see that even a mitzvah that does not affect ritzui, appeasement with Hashem, also there is the problem of mitzvah bo bavera. So our original question comes back. The Ritva answers, and we will explain the Ritva according to the Biur of Rab Reuven Grzovsky in Chedusha Rab Reuven on Masechta Sukkah in Simon Gimel. He explains the following, that the Pasuk which teaches us the concept of Mitzvah Bo Baver was brought down earlier in the Masechta. It's a Pasuk in Malachi, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, where the Navi says, "V'havesem gozul v'esapiseich." You will bring a stolen korban to me, and you'll bring a lame korban. Says Hashem, "Ha'ertzoy som yetchem." Amr Hashem, will this be acceptable to me? Says Hashem. So the Ritva says that when do you say mitzvah bo baver? That's only when it's an avera in the cheftza. But if it's only an avera in the gavra, you would not say mitzvah bo baver. Just like Piseach, the animal is lame, is a chesaron, is a defect intrinsically in the animal itself. It's not something in the person bringing it. It's rather in the object, in the animal, so to gezel. When is gezel a mitzvah bo bavera? That's when it's a gzela in the chefetz. But if you're telling me over here that karka ain't an gzels according to the chachamim, even if you're going to tell me that the person did an avera, the Ritva says it's the same as if someone has stolen property and he builds a kosher sukkah. The fact that he stole something, or he stole objects, so he has committed the avera of gzela, but that has nothing to do with the sukkah that he has created bekashrus. The same thing here, in the very sukkah which he has forced. Reuven forced Shimon out of the sukkah, that very sukkah, since it has a halachic status of shu'ula, because karka ain't an exeles, even if the Rishonim are correct that the gavra was over an avera, but that has nothing to do with the cheftza remains without a defect. The karka is ain't an exeles, the sukkah was not stolen. There's no effect in the cheftza. If there's no effect in the cheftza, it's not like pisech, it's not like something lame, and therefore there would be no chesaron of mitzvah habo ba'avera. Continues the Gemara, avol gozel eitzim v'sichich behen, says Reb Nachman, that if the case would have been that he stole pieces of wood, and he used those pieces of wood as chach, would I say then that he is not yotze? Would Rabbi Lezer hold in that case it's possible? No. Divrei HaKohel, everybody would hold, ein lo yelid mei eitzim, that all he has to do is pay back the value of the eitzim to the owner, to the nigzel from where he stole the wood from. But the sukkah would remain a sukkah kshera. And on this, we need to learn the Rashi, Divrei HaMaskel, Avol Gozel Eitzim V'Sichich Behen, because Rashi tells us very important yesoidus to understand this sugya. Says Rashi, ain zu like zula v'loy shu'ula. If he stole wood and he used wood as chach, it is not echsorin of being stolen, and it's not echsorin of being borrowed. Why? Because these are metaltlin. These pieces of wood are not karka. They are movable pieces of wood. And when he affixes them to the sukkah in a permanent way, he causes that it's no longer referred to as raw wood, but rather it's referred to as schach. And it's something done to the lumber, to the pieces of wood, that he has made it an integral part of the schach. So that would be called shinui maisa. And since there is yiyush of the bilim, you have yiyush together, the bilim gives up hope on this, and you did a shinui hashem or a shinui maisa, we paskin, that the gazlan is kona it. If you hold karka nigzeles, then it means he's not yet kona it. But he was able to take it out of the rishus of the nigzel. But if he actually does a shini hashem and a shini maisa on these metaltlin, everyone will hold that the gazlan is actually konet. It now becomes his. Of course, he has a chiyuv to pay back the value to the nigzel. But he owns it. If he owns it, then it's not borrowed and it's not stolen. It's considered his. The oid continues Rashi mishum takonas hashavim. And Rashi's saying that even if he did not affix it, he didn't make a shuni maisa to these planks of wood. And therefore, we're just going to call them piece of wood. There was no shuni hashem. But still, there's a halacha mid rabbonon atakonis hachamim, which we have in the Gemara and Gittin, in the Mishnah, Dafnun Heyamid Aleph, where the chachamim made a takana for hashavim, for those who want to do tshuva, those who want to return the gzela to the previous owners, and if they're going to use a beam, for example, in a roof, and they're going to have to tear up their whole roof, this will be an impediment for them not to do tshuva, and therefore the chazal, in order to make it as easy as possible for them to do tshuva, mid rabbanan, because yesh koyach lacham lakr davar min ha-Torah b'shavi al ta'asa, even though according to the Torah, you're mechuyu v'heshev is gzela to give it back, the chacham can say b'shavi al ta'asa, don't give it back, they're not going to do it b'kum v'asei, to do an act against the Torah, but to not do something that chacham have a power if they have a reason why this should be done. So the chachamim say, don't return it, and instead you're going to pay him money. So therefore Rashi is saying that either way, if he did a shini hashem or shini maisa, he's koinet. If he didn't do a shini hashem or shini maisa, mid rabbanan he's koinet. And since mid rabbanan he's koinet, it's not considered gzela. Eliyachser hadam, he should give back the money, but he doesn't have to tear down a house that has a beam in it, he doesn't have to tear down a sukkah that has planks in it. Now Rashi has a tremendous question. Udamrin v'perek ha-yashin, demayda rabbanan b'gzula. We, even though the rabbanan argue on shula against Rabbi Lazar, and they hold you could be yotzuk of your friend of shula, but by gzela they're moida, that a sukkah gzula is possible. So what's the case? What's bothering Rashi is, there's no case. Why? Because if he threw out the owner, the first case that we had in our Gemara today, that is karka and exalts according to the Chachamim. That can't even be stolen. It's always considered in the rishus of the owner. At most, it's sukkah she'ula, but not gzula. And if he takes planks and affixes them, then midaraisa, it's, he was kona shini hashem and shini maisa. And even if he didn't affix it, mid rabbanan he's koinid. So it's not considered gzula either. So what's the case where the rabbanan will be maida that a sukkah gzula is no good? According to Rabbi Lezer, this is not a problem because he holds karka nigzeles. So if karka is nigzeles, that would be the case where lechol would be mamayet as sukkah gzula. But according to the rabbanan, the kark is ain't an exelus. And by metaltalin, he's always going to be koinet when he puts it in the sukkah. So what's the case of sukkah gzula? So Rashi says, lav begozel sukkah muchuberes lekarka. It won't be a case where the sukkah is attached to the karka because the rabbanan hold kark ain't an exelus. Veloy begozel eitzim umesachich behen, because there he's always koinet. So it's not considered stolen. It's his. Ela begozel sukkah suyu barosha agol Rosh Hasvina. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, you can be yaitzu with a sukkah which is on the top of a wagon or on the top of a boat, according to those shitas that hold that you are yotzu with such a sukkah. The he atzman nigzel. So since it's movable, it could be stolen. She'ena b'chuvei sakark, it's not considered attached to the ground. What about midrabbanon that there's a tekanas hashavim? The ain't a love lahachzer damim. Ela kamayshi benuya. When he gives it back, he has to give it back. He has to give the boat with the sukkah on. He has to give the wagon with the sukkah on it. Why? The ain't kam shum tekanas hashavim. Sharei loy tarchal olav noisa. There was no effort by him put in to build it. V'loy haitzi olav yitzias. And he didn't have any expenditures for it. Hilchach gezulahi. So Rashi says that this will be the case, according to the Chachamim, of a sukkah gezula, where it's on a movable object like a boat or a wagon. You're able to steal it. It's not karka. And there's no takanas hashavim. And therefore, you have to give back the whole sukkah. So, and if you want to be yoitz with that sukkah on sukkahs, the Rechacham and Reb Lezer, everyone will hold. It's considered a sukkah gezula. And lecha veloy gezula, you will not be yoitz. In the middle of the Tosis, the second Tosis on the Daf, Divrei HaMashchil, Aval Gozel Eitzes B'Sichah Ben, Tosis quotes the entire Rashi, and in the middle he says, V'al Chinim Dachak, Rashi didn't have to give such an answer that's speaking only about a sukkah on top of a boat or a wagon, because the Midich Siv L'chod Matin Gzula B'Perek HaYoshev, V'Gozel Eitzes B'Sichah Ben, Shini Achoyz L'B'Yosehu, U'Midaraisa Loikani. The Taisa says, I can give you a simple answer. The Torah is the one that tells us that l'cha and not gzula. So on a deraisa level, if the person did not affix it, and if he didn't affix the planks to the roof of the sukkah, they're loosely there. So they're chayz l'briyasa, means you just pick up the plank and you return it to the owner. There's nothing, it's not put in, affixed in any way. And therefore, it's loose. You just pick it up and return it. So, midaraisa, he would not be kind of, because there's no shini Hashem or shini maisa. So, that would be a case where it is possible to steal because it's metaltalin. And he's not koined, and that would be possible if he kept it on sukkahs for sukkah zula. And even though there is a takanas shavim, continues to isum shum takanas marish hainu mid rabbanin vikram is sukkah mid deraisa. In other words, on a deraisa level, there's no problem of sukkah zula. We'll give a case where he took planks and he put it on top of a sukkah and he didn't affix it, so he's not koine, and that's the case where it'll be sukkah zula. You're right, mid rabbanin b'shevi al tasa, they say. For Takanas Hashavim, that he just has to give back the money, and then he would be kainid, and there wouldn't be gezula. That's on a Derabbana level. But there's no, Rashi didn't have a problem. He didn't have to go to a far-fetched case and say that the only case of sukkah gezula is a sukkah built on top of a wagon or on top of a boat. Now, we just want to point out that the Bir Halacha in Siman Tav Reish Lamed Zayin, Divrei HaMashchil Yotzah, says that L'chaira, how we could ask the same question of the Ritva that we asked before, of Mitzvah Bo Bavera, that could be asked on taking planks and affixing it or not affixing it, Takanas HaShavim. How can the Rabbanan hold that in that case you would be Yotzei because you were Konit? Why doesn't it remain there, Mitzvah Bo Bavera? And here we can't say that it's only in the Gavra, not in the Heftza, like we explained from Reb Reuven Grozovsky in the Ritva before. Because here we're speaking about in the Heftza. Here it's pieces of wood, which is, we don't say on that Karka ain't an Nigzelis. So here would be a strong question, why isn't it possible because of Mitzvah Bo Bavera? On that, the Bir Halacha says that hifkiyu iser gezel mimenu, that since the Chachamim have the koyach to lock or dover minatar b'shevi al tase, and they can say you're not mechuyev to return it, it belongs to you, and all you have to do is pay the money, what the Chachamim are actually doing is they're being oikered a whole shem gzula from this thing. It's yours, there's no gezel, and therefore there's no problem, even in the chefza of mitzvah habo bavera. Continues the Gemara, mimai, how do I know that the case of sukkah gzula is when he grabbed the person and threw him out of his own sukkah? Midik Tani Dumi the Rishus HaRabim. Since the second case was Rishus HaRabim, if he built a sukkah in the place of Rishus HaRabim, and we want to make the two cases to be symmetrical, the same type of cases, so we say, Ma Rishus HaRabim Karkal Avdi Deyu, just like by Rishus HaRabim, the ground does not belong to the Gazlan. Sukkah Nami, the case of Sukkah Gzula, Lav Karkal Avdi Deyu, it is not his karka, he took the person and he threw him out, he threw out the nigzel from his sukkah. And now the Gemara relates a story. Hahi sapta, there was this old woman. Da soil kamid Rav Nachman, who came in front of Rav Nachman. Arm relay, she said to him, Reish Galusa, the Reish Galusa, the Kula Rabbanan, and all the Rabbanan, the Bay Reish Galusa, who are in the house of the Reish Galusa, Besukkah, Gezula, Havayasa, they were sitting in a sukkah Gezula, as Rashi explains, because the Avodim of the Reish Galusa stole wood from this old lady, and with that wood, they built the sukkah. At Safcha, so she was screaming, V'loy Ajim B'chor Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman did not pay attention to her. Amra Lei, so this old woman said to Rav Nachman, Itza, a woman, the Havalei Lavua that her father had, Tlas Mea V'tamni Sri Avdi, 318 Avadim, Tzavcha Kamaichu is screaming in front of you, V'loy Ajgechisaba, and you're not paying attention to her. And Rashi says that what did she mean with the 308 Avadim? That she is a bas of Avraham Avinu. She's a descendant of Avraham Avinu. In other words, she's a bas Yisrael. How can you not listen to a bas Yisrael? My great-great-grandfather Avraham had Yelidei Beisai, Shmoina Eser, V'Shalosh Meis. He had 318 servants in his house. And I come from Avraham. Please listen to me. The Ritva says that the pshat is that she was not referring to Avraham Avinu, but merely saying, I had a rich father, and usually a person who's rich has power and influence. She was saying to Rav Nachman, I come from a rich father who had 318 servants. How can you not listen to me? Rav Nachman did not respond directly to her. Amar Lahu, Rav Nachman said to his Talmidim, Piyusa Hida, this woman is a screamer. She's just a crier. Because the halacha is that since these were pieces of wood that were used for the sukkah, as we learned before, there's a takanas hashavim, or there's midaraisa, the gazlan was coined with shinri hashem or shinri maisa, and midarabon and takanas hashavim, and therefore the Reish Galusa does not have to return the stolen property, he just has to pay for it, and therefore it belongs now to the Reish Galusa, and they could be yotze at a mitzvah of sukkah because it belongs to them, and there's no problem of a sukkah gzula, as we learned in the Gemara before. Continues the Gemara, Amar Ravina, said Ravina, Hai kishur de metal losa, de gzula, if you have a beam of a sukkah that was stolen, avdu the rabbanan takanta mishum takanas marish. So the rabbanan would make a takana that the person would not have to rip down his sukkah and return the beam. All he has to do is return the money, and therefore he's kone it because of takanas hashavim, and he's yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. The Gemara asked the question, pshita. This is simple. Why did Ravina have to say this halacha? What is the difference, this din of the beam, from what we learned before of a person who used the eitzim for the schach? The Gemara answers, Mao, the same I would have think, a thought. Eitzim shchichi, that it is easy to get wood, and therefore the Chacham did not penalize the gazlan and have him rip out the wood from his schach. Because the nigzal, it's very easy for him to get wood. Avil hai, but the morish, the beam, loy shchicha, is not so prevalent. It's not that easy for him to acquire another beam, emaloy. So I would think that on that they did not do a takanas hashavim, and he would have to return it. And if he sat in such a sukkah, on sukkahs, he would not be yotze, because he was not kona the sukkah. Kamash malon, that even in such a case, there is a takanas hashavim, and if he sat in that sukkah with that beam, he is yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. The Ritva brings down a kasha from the Ra'ah, a bomba of a kasha, that the holding of takanas hashavim is in the Mishnah in Gittin, Dafnun Hei, as Rashi brings down in Divrei HaMaskil, Elod Me'etzim, and we'll quote the Rashi. The takanas chacham hizu ala morish hagazol shaboni bebira sheyitol hanigzal asdama v'loy chayvu lekakeas binyanim ipnei takanas hashavim bebesech to get in dafnun hamid aleph. The chacham, because of takanas hashavim, did not require him to break up his house, his castle, and rip out that beam. So the whole Takonas HaShavim in Gittin was set on a beam. So what is Ravina being mechadish over here, that by a beam of a sukkah there is also a Takonas HaShavim? That's the mission in Gittin. Answers the Ritva, and this also may be the understanding of what Rashi is saying. In Divrei HaMaskil Mivnei Takonas Morish, two lines before it gets wide at the bottom of the Amud, V'loy Amrin in Enkan Hefsid Meruba, V'yaster Sukasoi, the mitzvah Mashvi Lei, Kol Shiva Kibinin Keva. In other words, this is what the Ritva says as well, that the Chiddush of Ravina is that Takonas Morish is not only said by a house, but it's also said by a sukkah. I would mean to say that a sukkah is a temporary dwelling for 7 days, and it's not such a big deal to take out the beam of a sukkah and return it as it is to take out a beam from a house. So I would mean to say that the Takonas HaShavim was only said by a house, but it was not said by a sukkah, Kamash Malan, that since he's doing this for a mitzvah, the mitzvah makes this, even though it's only a 7-day mitzvah, it makes it into a permanent structure, and therefore it goes into the Takonas HaShavim of the Mishnah in Masechta Gittin on Daf Nun Hey. Continues the Gemara, but when do we say this Takonas HaShavim even by a sukkah? Hani mili begoy shiva. That's only during the 7 days of sukkah, of sukkahs. Avol abasar shiva, but after the 7 days of sukkahs, hader be'enei, then already there's no more Takonas HaShavim. Because then, in fact, I'll say that the sukkah is a temporary dwelling, and therefore, now that sukkah is over, he should, in fact, remove the beam from the sukkah. Ve'i chavre betinah. However, if he affixed it with pitch, va'fil la'achar shiva namiyov le'demei, then we do extend the Takonas HaShavim even after Chag HaSukkos, because now it's already considered more of a permanent structure, even though the Chag HaSukkos is over, and then it will go into the Takonas HaShavim, and all he has to do is give him money, and he's kind of the beam in his sukkah. And now we begin a new sugya, which has to do with the psulim of a lulav and esrog. Tana, we learned, yavesh pasul, that if you have, as we're going to see in the Gemara, a lulav that is yavesh, it's dried up, that is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda Masher, Rabbi Yehuda argues and he holds a lulav that is dried up is kosher. Amar Rava, so Rava said, machloik is belulav. The whole machloik is between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is by lulav. The Rabbanan Savri makshin and lulav la esrog, because the Rabbanan holds you make a hekesh, you compare lulav to esrog, ma esrog boy hodder, just like esrog has from the pasuk pri eitz hodder. It has to be beautiful, and therefore yavish is pasul af lulav boy hodder. So even though it doesn't say hodder by lulav, but lulav also requires hodder, and therefore yavish by lulav will be pasul. For Rabbi Yehuda Sover, loy makshin lulav esrog, and Rabbi Yehuda holds you do not compare lulav to esrog. The psul of hodder is only by esrog. Avol be esrog. But by esrog, we have an esrog that's dried up. Divrei HaKol, hoder be'inan, everybody holds you need hoder, and therefore a dried up esrog will be pasul. So what Rava has explained here is two yesodos concerning Rabbi Yehuda. A, that he holds, you don't compare lulav to esrog, and there's no psul hoder by lulav. And B, that by esrog, he's moida, that there is a psul hoder. And the Gemara in the next Amid is going to try to find proofs against both of these yesodos, these principles that were enunciated by Rava. So the Gemara asks, first question, Uba lulav loy by Rabbi Yehuda hoder? Are you telling me, Rava, a rule that by lulav Rabbi Yehuda does not require hoder? But now we learned in a Mishnah, which is going to be, which we've had already earlier, Rabbi Yehuda oimer yagdenu mal mala. Rabbi Yehuda said that you have to tie up the lulav on top. My time. What's the reason of this halacha? Lav mishum, is it not because the boy hotter? Because Rabbi Yehuda requires hotter, and it's very beautiful to have the lulav tied up on top. So the Gemara says, loy, really Rabbi Yehuda does not hold you need hotter by lulav. But kediktana taima, as we saw, the reason is given, Rabbi Yehuda oimer mishum Rav Tarfon. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav Tarfon. Tarfon, kapois tmorim. The pasuk speaks about a lulav in terms of the branches of date palms, and we can say that the word kapos, we could change the nekudos and read it as kafus, tie it up. What does that mean? V'im hayopard, if the leaves were separating from the spine of the lulav, yikaftanu, you should tie it up. So I learned the words of the pasuk to teach me that it requires to be tied up. It has nothing to do with hadar lulav, ein tzarech hadar. Frag the Gemara, is that so? V'loy boy hadar lulav does need hadar, but now we learned in another Mishnah, which we're going to have further on daf, la midvav amid beis, ein oigdem es halulav, el b'minoy. And Rashi says the lulav here refers to the bunch of the Hishana, which includes the lulav, the aravis, and the adasim. You tie them all together, and you only do it b'minoy. B'minoy means you could use either part of the lulav, or part of the adasim, or part of the aravis. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. My time, what's the reason of this halacha? Lav mishum, is it not because? The boy hadar. Because we require, Rabbi Yehuda does require hadar. Therefore, it's more beautiful if you use the min itself of the lulav or aravis and adasim. So Gemara says, loy, that's not correct, that's not the reason. Really, lulav does not need hadar. So why can you only use b'minoi? The Amr Rav, I'll prove to you, has nothing to do with hadar, because Rav has said, afilu b'siv, you can even use the ivy of the branches, vafila beikra de dikla, and even the strips of bark taken from the trunk of the palm tree. And as Rashi points out, 2 lines from the bottom, vafal pisha ein marein doimul amara lulav, even though the ivy and the pieces of bark do not look like the lulav. So if the whole reason would be of hadar, that's not beautiful. But the time of Rabbi Yehuda Hasam Lav Mishum Hadaru. The reason of Rabbi Yehuda over there is not because of Hadar. So the Gemara says, okay, you've proven to me it's not because of Hadar. If you could use pieces of the lulav that don't look like the lulav, it's certainly not Hadar. The hell of my time of Rabbi Yehuda. What, in fact, is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda Hasam? What is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda over there? Because Savar, because Rabbi Yehuda holds lulav tzarech agad. Lulav has to be bound together. The e maisi min achrin, if you're going to bring another min, havalhu chamisha minim, as Rashi says on the last line, hilkach kol haneger imoy havi min a mitzvah, v'nimtza oivir b'bal toysev im yagid min chamishi. So Rashi says that since you need agad, so all these four minim have to be together, if I'm going to introduce now a fifth min, so to tie it to, with all the other four, I'm going to have 5 minim. I'm going to be over on the Avera of Baal Toysev. Don't add to the minim. So therefore, I'm not allowed to add anything else. However, I could use pieces of the lulav, which do not look like the lulav, because it has nothing to do with hadar, as long as it's the same min. I'm not introducing a fifth min. And that is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara remains that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that a lulav tzarech agad. Now the Gemara attacks the other principle of Rava in Rabbi Yehuda. Be'esrik mi boy Rabbi Yehuda hadar. Are you telling me that in Esrik Rabbi Yehuda is moide to the Tanakama that an Esrik Hayavish would be possible because it requires hadar? I'm going to try to prove to you that Rabbi Yehuda by Esrik also holds there's no mitzvah of hadar. Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, arbas minim shabalulav, the 4 minim in a lulav, kishem shem poyichsim mehen, just like you can't have less than 4, kachem asif nalem, you can't add more than 4. Loi matza esrik, what happens if he didn't find an esrik? Lo yavi, loi parish, he should not bring a quince, loi riman or a pomegranate, loi dover acher, he shouldn't bring any other type of fruit as a substitute for the esrik. Kimushin, if the minim are withered, kisherin, yevashin, if they're dried up, sulit. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, af yevashin. Rabbi Yehuda says that even yevashim are kosher. V'omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Maisa, there was a story, and now we turn to the Falamid Aleph Amid Beis, B'bnei Krachin, with people living in the villages. And Rashi says, on the top Rashi, She'ein Dorin al-Mokim Pardesim v'ein dekol Mitzunishav. They did not live near orchards, and there were no trees near them, so it was very difficult for them to get a lulav. Shehayu Mayrishin es lulavayim. They used to give biyurusha, their lulavim, libnei b'neim, to their grandchildren, and by then the lulavim were certainly dried up, and we see that you could use a lulav that is yavish, amru loy, says the Masoras HaShas. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, you're bringing a proof from over there, from the Bnei Krochen, who used to give as an inheritance to their grandchildren, their lulavim. Ein Shasatchak Raya, you can't bring me a proof from a difficult situation where they didn't have lulavim available, that they were forced to give the lulavim to their grandchildren. But normally, a lulav that is yavesh is possible. Ketani mias. But what do we see? What do we learn over there? In any event, that Rabbi Yehuda Omer af yavesh and ksherim. That Rabbi Yehuda says clearly that even yavesh is kosher. He disagrees with the Tanakhama. My love, isn't it speaking about esrig? That even an esrig that is yavish, not only a lulav that is yavish is kosher, but even an esrig that is yavish is kosher. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even by an esrig you don't need hadr. The Gemara answers, loy, a lulav. It's going on a lulav. And Echanami, by esrig, he admits that you need hadr and yavish would be possible. Amar Mar, we learned before, kishem she'ein parchsimehan. Just like you can't have less than four minim, kach ein maisif malem, so too, you can't have more than four minim. Frey, the Gemara pshita, this is simple. Why do you have to tell it to us? We know there's an isser of baltigra, and there's an isser of baltoisiv. You can't add to the mitzvahs of the Torah, and you can't subtract. So why does the Gemara have to tell us? Just like you can't subtract, you can't add. Gemara answers, Mao, the same I would have thought. Hoyil v'yom Rav Yehuda, lulav tzar chaget. Since Rav Yehuda said, as we learned before, that a lulav has to be bound together, v'imaisi min acharina, if you would bring a fifth min, and as Tosis in the middle of the Divrei HaMaskil, the top Tosis Hoyle says, v'yesh loimer, da'ach amayri b'shenoisen oisoi chutz la'agad l'rabyuda, that he would put it outside of the agad. So I would have thought, since Rav Yehuda requires agad, if he took a fifth min and he did not tie it up together with the other minim, then there's no bal toisev because he doesn't have a min tied together with the other minim, so this is considered separate from the other minim, and he's not over on bal toisev. Kamash malon, this teaches us that he is over bal toisev. That's the chiddush, even if they are not tied together, and even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that lulav tzarech agad. Amar Mar, we learned before, loy matza esrik, if you didn't find an esrik, loy yavi, you should not bring, loy rima, not a pomegranate, veloy parsha, not a quince, veloy davracha, nothing else. It bothered me here that if you look on Amid Aleph, this brisa is quoted differently. Three lines from the bottom, loy matza esrik, loy yavi, loy parish, loy rima. He shouldn't bring a quince or a pomegranate. And here it's quoted, loy riman v'loy parish, not the correct order. And in fact, I have heard from Rav Zev Kohn Shlita that he found in the Dukei Sofrim that this is incorrect here on Amid Beis, and it should be written as it is written on Amid Aleph, loy parish v'loy rimon, that is the correct girsa. So the Gemara asks Pshita, of course, the mitzvah is priyei tzar, which refers to an esrig. Why would I think that you should bring a quince or a pomegranate? The Gemara answers, Mao, the same Elisa, you should bring it. I would have thought, kehechid loy tishakach taris esrig, that one should not forget the whole concept of bringing an esrig. So if I bring another fruit, at least I'll remember that I am supposed to bring an esrig. Otherwise, people will think all you have to use is three minim instead of four minim. Kamash malon, this comes to teach us, zim denafik churba minei, sometimes something bad can come out of using a quince or a pomegranate, the asilam misrach, because people will get accustomed and they'll think that the fourth min is not an esrig, it's a pomegranate. So in order to avoid that mistake, one should not use any other fruit as a substitute. Toshma, we have learned esrig, hayashim pasal, an old esrig, which is dried up, is pasal because it's not hadr. V'Rabbi Yehuda machshir, and Rabbi Yehuda says, it is kosher, tiyufta, derava, tiyufta. So this is a shlug up, this is an unquestionable refute of what Rav said, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he needs hadr by an esrig. Here we see clear that he's machshir, an old esrig that is dried up, because he does not hold that you need hadr by esrig. So it comes out that one of the principles that Rav said was correct, and one is incorrect. The correct one was that Rabbi Yehuda holds up by lulav, you do not need hadr. The incorrect one was that he said by esrig, Rabbi Yehuda holds you need hadr. We just learned that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, by esrig, you do not need hadr. According to Rebuta, both lulav and esrig, there is no psul of hadr. So the Gemara asks a question on this now. V'loy boy hadr, are you telling me now, in fact, that Rava was wrong, and that Rebuta does not require hadr by esrig? V'anantanan, we learned in a Mishnah further on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis Hayar Kekarti. If you have an esrog that's green as a leek, Rameir Masha Rameir says it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Paisa. Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible. Lav Mishum Deboy Hader. Is it not because the Rabbi Yehuda requires Hader by esrog and a green esrog is not Hader? Gemara says Loi. Really, Rabbi Yehuda does not require Hader by esrog, and that's why Yaveh Yashan and Yavesh will be kosher according to Rabbi Yehuda by esrog. But why is a green one like a leek? Pasul mishum de la gomer peira, because it is unripe. The peira has not been completed, and therefore you cannot use it as a peiri for the mitzvah of esrog. Toshma, come in here. Shear esrog cotton. What is the shear of a small esrog with which you can be yitzay esrog? Rab Meir Oimer Kegas, like a nut. Rab Yehuda Oimer Kebay, it has to be as big as an egg. Lav Mishum De Boy Hader. Why does Rab Yehuda require that it has to be as big as an egg and not as small as a nut? Because it has to have some beauty to it. If it's as small as a nut, it's not beautiful. The Gemara says Loi. Really, Rab Yehuda holds esrog does not need hader. But mishum de legomer peri, if it's as small as a nut, Rab Yehuda holds that the peri is not finished, it's unripe, and therefore you cannot use it as an esrog. Toshma, ubegadol, what is the maximum size of an esrog? Kadesh yoichi shnayim biyari achas de Rab Yehuda, that you can hold two esrogim in one hand. If this esrog is too big that you cannot hold two esrogim in one hand, then it is possible. Rab Yosi Oimer, no, it's kosher, afilu echad b'shtei yadav, even if it's so big that this one humongous esrog has to be held in two hands, it is still kosher. My timer. What is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda why he says such a big esrog would be posel? He argues on Rabbi Yossi, lav mishum is it not because the boy hader, because it requires hader, and such a huge esrog is not hader. The Gemara answers, loy, that's not the reason. What is the reason? Kivin to Omar, as the Bach says here, Rava. Lulav be min esrog small. You have to hold the lulav in the right side, and esrog has to be held in the left side. Zimni the mechalafle. Sometimes someone will pass him the lulav and the esrog, and he'll wind up that, or by mistake, he picked up the lulav in his left hand and the esrog in his right hand, and he has to try to now va'asi le'afuchinu. He has to switch hands, and when he'll do that, it's such a big esrog that he won't be able to handle the switch well. Va'asil of Suli, he'll drop the esrog and he'll come to Paslid. That's why Rabbi Yehuda requires that it should not be bigger than two esrogim that fit into one hand, so that when he takes the switches, the lulav and the esrog, he'll be able to maneuver, he'll have space in his hand to make the transfer in a proper way and not possible the esrog. The Gemara asks a very obvious question. V'el Rabbi Yehuda, who we've now established, doesn't hold of the psul of hader even by esrog, hoksiv hader, but it says in the Torah, pre eitz hader, it says clearly in Chumash that one of the requirements of an esrog is that it is beautiful. The Gemara answers, hahu hador bilana mishan l'shana. That is not referring to hader, to beauty, but it's referring to hador, to the one that remains on the tree from year to year, as Rashi says here in Divrei HaMaskil Hador, Mehocha Shaminin de Esrog Amakra, since the Torah really didn't say the word Esrog. It's just a beautiful peri. How do I know which beautiful peri the Torah is referring to? She'ain pri achar oiskin. There's no other pri where it stays on the same tree from year to year. They fall off, a new fruit grow, and the esrog stays on the tree from year to year. So that's how I know that the esrog is the one that the Torah means when it refers to priates hader, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that it does not refer to hader beauty, but hador be'ilonai mishan l'shanah. Continues the Gemara to explain the next phrase of our Mishnah, shel asher, shel irani dachas, it's possible that if someone has a lulav, which is an asher, it was served by the goyim as an avodah zara, v'shel ir hanidachas, or it was from a city that served avodah zara, and where there everything in the city has to be destroyed. If he wants to use that as a lulav, it is possible. The Gemara says v'shel asher possible. You're telling me that asher is possible. In other words, it's even possible b'di'eved. V'amar Rava. Rava said not like that. Lulav shel avodah zara. Lulav avodah zara lo yital. Lichatchili should not take it, as Rashi says in Divrei HaMaskil Yitol demois ligavoya, because it's disgusting to take such a thing for a mitzvah of lulav. But ve'im natal, if he took it, kosher. It is kosher. As Rashi points out, Divrei HaMaskil v'im natal kosher, even though avodah zara is a suri hanah, so how can he use this for a mitzvah sukkah, he's going to have hanor from it. And Rashi says the famous klal, the mitzvahs lav lahanes nitnu. Mitzvahs are not made for hanor. Kloimer explains Rashi, ein kiyum mitzvahs hanor saguf. The kiyum of this mitzvah is not the pleasure one gets. Elo avoidas eved l'raboy. The purpose of mitzvahs is to serve the master, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi in Rosh Hashanah tells us that it's lo'oil. The purpose of mitzvahs that Hashem gave us is a yoke that we are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, since there's no hanor for mitzvahs, there's no problem of the fact that the Shalavoy Dezora is Isurei hanor. But what is, getting back to our Gemara's question, the Gemara's question is that from the Mishnah it seems that an Avodah Zarah is possible even b'dieved to use. And from what Rava said, it seems a contradiction, because Rava said that only l'chatchil you shouldn't take it. It's disgusting, moles to take it. But if you did take it, in fact, you are Yotzer the Mitzvah. What do we do with this contradiction? The Gemara answers, Hacha b'asherah d'moshe askinan. Here we are talking about the Asherah from the days of Moshe, as Rashi explains, B'divri Amaschel B'asherit Moshe, Oysim Shehoyu B'shas Kibush Eretz Yisrael, the ones that were here in the time of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, Shehitzrich and Akatsu Sreif, the Torah required Sreif on them, Kiddich Siv, V'asherei and Tisrif and Be'esh, their Asherit you should burn in fire. And now Rashi explains why these are possible even b'di'evit. The lulav tzarf shir, a lulav needs a shir of four tvachim. The high, and this asher, which has to be burnt, high keman demichte shiura. That's what the Gemara continues, the famous expression, de ketuse michta shiure. That's what Rashi is explaining now, those words. Because if kol ha'oimid lisreif, as Rashi continues, kivin lisreifakoi. We have a rule, anything that's supposed to be burnt, it's as if it's burnt already. Kol ha'oimid lisreif kisarf dami. And therefore, kituse michtashire, the shear of the dalat fachm of the luluv that is required, is considered like pulverized. It was burnt crisp into ashes, even though it hasn't happened yet. But since it's supposed to happen, it's as if it happened, and therefore you're missing the shear of luluv. And therefore, it's possible even Bidi Eved. They can nominate. I'll bring you a proof to that. Diktani, it says in our Mishnah, Dum Yadir Anidachas. It's similar to Yiranidachas. The din is of Yiranidachas. Everything in the city has to be burnt. Shema Mino. So we see that we're speaking about an Asherah de Moshe, where it has to be burnt, and therefore it's considered possible. So Tosfos here in Divrei HaMaskil b'Asherah de Moshe explains, it would come out L'Chayrid, that the way Tosfos explains two lines from the bottom, the Hanu Bavoidazor de Nachri, the Eshla Bitlva, who dictoni lo yotz Bavoidazor de Yisrael, Shaina Batela Lamas. So Tosfos explains that when Rav said that Lulav Avoidazor lo yitol Bavim Natl Kosher, that's speaking about a Avoidazor that's owned by a Goy. So if the Yisrael uses that for a Lulav, B'dieved, even though it's a little disgusting, L'chatchila, B'dieved, it's kosher. And Tosfos explains, because an Avoidazor of a Yid could become bottle if a voidazor of a goy could become bottle if the goy himself or another goy is mevatel it and says, I don't hold it, that's an avoidazor, then it would not be an avoidazor anymore. So therefore, that avoidazor, that lulav of avoidazor, b'dieved, if it was used, is still kosher. However, asher de Moshe is an example, just like the Asher in the time of Moshe had to be burnt because it was owned by Klal Yisrael, because we were given Eretz Yisrael from the time of Avram Avinu, and the Asherahs that we allowed by the Egel, Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael allowed the Avodah Zarah to serve the Asherahs that were owned by the Jews, but the Goyim were allowed to serve them as Avodah Zarah, so they became Osir as Avodah Zarah. But they were owned by Klal Yisrael, and that's what Tosfos continues, V'ahu diktonin lo yotzeh b'Avodah Zarah d'Yisrael, she'eina b'teil alamiz. The halacha is that an Avodah Zarah that's owned by a Jew can never become batel, so then it has to be burnt, and a regular Avodah Zarah, not only the one by Asherah de Moshe, l'char that that's only an example of a type of Avodah Zarah owned by a Yid, so any other Avodah Zarah also has to be burnt or destroyed or buried, but all of those methods are considered to say Michtashiu, right? And therefore with those, one would not be Yaitze even B'di'evit. Tosfos continues, and Tosfos asks a question, two lines from the bottom, of the Amud, Vim Taimer Avodah Zarah D'Nachri Nami Midda Agbo Kanye V'Nasa Shel Yisrael. Avodah Zarah of a Goy, once the Yid picks it up, it becomes a Avodah Zarah belonging to a Yid, and it won't be Shaykh to have Bittel. So what does it help you that one Avodah Zarah here was owned by a Goy, but we notice a Din Lachem, so when the Yid picks it up from the Goy, he has to be Kainit. So if so, every Avodah Zarah of a Goy that a Yid is going to use the lulav of that Avodah Zarah is going to become belonging to the Yid. Once it's belonging to the Yid, there's again Ketusei Mechtashir because Bittel is not Shayich. On that, Tosfos answers, V'yesh Loimer Kegoyin Shigvi Amanah Shaloi Liknais. He had Kavanah not to be Koine. And Tosfos continues on the top of the Aflamid Beis Amud Aleph at the end of the line, V'lulav B'yantiv Sheni. And I'll be speaking about Yantiv Sheni where you don't need Lachem. So it's speaking about a case where he didn't have kavana to be kaina. It's a yant sheni where you yaitza memeil. There won't be any problem of tusei mechtashir. So Tosfos points out ubishmeitzna v'matzel l'shnuye demasnisim beyant of rishon v'lo avitzarch look me by shere demoisha. So really, we wouldn't have to say it's speaking about an avodah zarah that was owned by a yid which needs to be destroyed. And tusei mechtashir, we could say both the Mishnah and Rava's din are both speaking about where it's an avodah zarah belonging to a goy, and the Mishnah will be speaking about Yom Tov Rishon, where you need Lachem. So automatically, when he's coined from the Goy to be Yoitz Lachem, it becomes the Jews, and then Bittel's not Shayach, and then you have to burn it, and then it's Ketusei Mechtashir. And Rav's statement that B'di'evit is good, he'll be speaking about Yom Tov Sheni, where it's Shayach Bittel, where he doesn't have to be coined. And Bittel is Shayach, and therefore we won't say Ketusei Mechtashir. And then he could be Yaitse B'di'evit. So why did the Gemara have to go to a case of Asher Shal Moshe? Elamishum Diktani Dumya Dirani Dachas, Afilo B'yantav Sheni. As the Gemara pointed out, it says in our Mishnah, Asherah comparable to the other case of Irani Dachas. Irani Dachas has to be burnt. There's no chilek between Yantav Rishon or Yantav Sheni. We're going to say Ketusei Mechtashir. So Mimela, we wanted to give a case by Asherah also, where it wouldn't make a chilek between Yantav Rishon and Yantav Sheni, and that will be when it belongs to a Yid, where Bittel is not Shayach, and Mimela, you have to burn it, and Mimela, there is Ketusei Mechtashir. But Einach Nami, the Gemara could have answered that it's not speaking about Asherah Shal Moshe. It's speaking about a share that was owned by a goy, and in our Mishnah, it's speaking about Yontav Rishon. Yontav Rishon, you need lachem, so you have to be koned from the goy at the point where you have to be koned from the goy. So then, Einach Nami, it becomes automatically a Jews, and Bittel is not Shayach, and if Bittel is not Shayach, it needs Shreifa and Ketusei Mechtashir. And Rava's statement will be in on Yontav Sheni, where you do not need Lachem, so he has Kavanah not to be coined from the Goy, it remains the Goy, and Bittel is Shayach, and therefore there's no din of Ketusei Mechtashir, and therefore B'di'evad, L'chatchil, it's Mos, and he shouldn't use it, but B'di'evad, he would use it. The Gemara could have given that answer, but it gave the answer that it did, Asher Shomoisha, because of the comparison to Ir Hanidachas.